Good morning. Great having you here. And I want to say that the reason why the sweater vest is out today is it's Masters weekend and greatest golf tournament going on this particular weekend. Every golf tournament's awesome, but Masters, it's a whole different, it's a tradition unlike any other. So we'll leave it at that. So we're grateful you're here this morning. In your bulletin, you see this every week, this little communication card. We put these in here not because we want to put them in there just to leave them blank, but if there are prayer requests that you have, this is the way that you share that with us. And so please fill this out. Let us know if there's something that we can be praying for you about. We have a number of folks that pray throughout the week for these requests, and we continue to see God do great things. So please fill that out. Let us know if you're a new person here and you'd like some more information about what's going on in this particular community of faith. Fill this out, put it in the offering plate, and we will contact you and answer questions and do whatever we can to help make your experience at FBC Scottsdale all the better. All right, so that's about this card. In your bulletin, you will also see a number of announcements. And we're just going to take these in a random order this morning. The first is this, is that if you're interested in having your family picture taken, at the end of this service, go back and you'll be able to sign up and get your picture taken back there. If you're not interested in having your picture taken, but you'd like to give us updated information, please fill out some information because we're putting together a church directory, and so that way we can get that information in there. And even if your picture's not in there, you can put the put your info in there. That would be great, okay? So, and also, if you're interested in purchasing portraits and things like that, please know that every penny that's raised for this goes to the Costa Rica mission team that's taken off in June. And so if you're interested in that, please feel free to contribute to that as well. This Sunday through next Sunday, we're doing a two-part series on missions. And next weekend, you'll see in your bulletin that we have a missions weekend. And it starts next Saturday as far as seminars at 10 o'clock in the morning. There are three different mission seminars to attend, led by people that are missionaries here that we sponsor, as well as people that attend here that are viewing their lives as being a missionary. And so please, if you're interested, you don't have to come to every single one of them, but if there's one that grabs you more than others, please feel free to attend that seminar. It is going to be a great time. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, goes till 2 in the afternoon, and we're rotating these workshops that you can attend, and it gives you great freedom to do what you'd like to do. Lunch will be served, and we're going to have a great time because we believe that God has called this church since its inception to make a difference in this world. And so we'd like to provide opportunities for you to learn what it means to understand what God's calling you to do. The fact that you can be a missionary wherever you are, at your workplace, in your neighborhood, at your school, wherever. And there are different questions that you have about what does that look like? And so please join us next weekend for that. And then next Sunday, we have a potluck meal. We're desiring you to bring meals that have an international appeal to them. Some of you are going, well, I go to Taco Bell every day. That has an international appeal. If you want to do that, that's okay. But we're talking about just any type of different international food that you'd like to bring. But the emphasis is you need to bring that food, all right? So that's what a potluck is. It'll happen at the end of second worship service next week. And so it'll be at C1. It'll be in C1 next week for that. Please let us get together and enjoy some great food with one another. So that's about missions weekend next weekend. Partnering with Con and I House. For those of you that have been attending here for a short time or even for a long time and you don't know what Con and I House is, let me tell you very quickly. We have a house on campus that we use as a free house, meaning that people can come in and get free food, free clothing, as they're going through different struggles in life. Well, Con and I House runs out of supplies. And so what we're starting now is called partnering with Con and I House, and it would be where you buy the same type of food stuff every single month. And we have some tables set up out in the lobby for you to sign up and find out what you'd like to contribute to make this vibrant ministry all the more vibrant. It is a very simple way for us to make an impact in this world around us. Okay? And then this evening we're going to talk about, well, not this evening, but you'll hear an announcement later on about a college-age ministry that we're starting up this evening. There'll be a video announcement or a video about that during the offering time, and I'll remind you about that then. But please be praying for this as we launch this new ministry tonight. That would be great. And also in your bulletin, we pray for a different country every month. You'll see this. Pray for Afghanistan. Needless to say, Afghanistan's going through a lot. It's been going through a lot for a generation now, at least. Look at that information. Be praying for them every single day as God continues to do amazing things, even in the midst of some horrific situations there. So please join us in praying for Afghanistan this upcoming month. All right? So we're grateful you're here. Some of you have had birthdays this last week. You look great. You had a birthday?
Yeah, 12 yesterday.
Did you really? You don't look a year over 11. It's amazing. Okay, so happy birthday, Hunter. So greet Hunter when we do our greeting time. Be sure to wish him happy birthday. I'm not going to sing to you right now, but we're grateful. I'm sure your parents sang to you. They did? They did. The junior higher sang to you. Well, that's fantastic. So thanks for interrupting our announcement time. No, I'm just joking. So anyway, but happy birthday, Hunter. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you so very much for Hunter. We thank you for other folks who have celebrated birthdays this past week. We thank you for being a God that enjoys celebrating life with us. Lord, we pray as we come into this time of worship, we pray that we would enjoy one another, that we would enjoy your work in our lives, and that the songs we sing, the interactions that we have with one another, would be pleasing to you. And as we hear your word proclaimed, that you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, we love you. Holy Spirit, do your work today. And may we worship you in spirit and in truth. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand up, greet one another, wish Hunter a happy late birthday, and Tom a happy early birthday.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's worship together, shall we? Amazing grace. I sing for all. How are y'all doing? Good. You sound great, by the way. Go for it.
I was lost, I was in chains, the world had a hold. God was a stone, I was covered in shame when he came for me. I couldn't run from his presence. Couldn't run from his arms. Jesus, he loves me.
Truth that he loves me, that he loves you. There's that line that said, I couldn't run from his presence. The great thing about God, one of the many great things about God, is that he pursues us all the time. No matter how hard we're running away from him, he has this ability to run hard after us. He cares for us so very much. He comes after us, not because he wants to ruin our lives. He comes after us because he knows that when we are with him, when we're trusting in Jesus Christ and living that way, it is the best way to live life. There's no doubt about that at all. And last week, we saw that Jesus came to this place where he had risen from the dead, and the apostles, the 11, were around him, and they're so excited. They couldn't believe all these different things that they had seen over the course of the 40 days of seeing this risen Lord. He ate with them. He laughed with them. I'm sure he joked with them. I'm sure he did some things that aren't recorded in Scripture that we would say, oh my goodness, can you believe what he did? They were so blown away by this resurrected Lord. They didn't know what to do. They said, hey, is now the time? Is now the time when you're coming back and we know you're here, and now is the time that we get to see all these new things happen because you're going to restore the kingdom. And Jesus says, no. No, that's not what's about to happen. What's about to happen is something so earth-shattering, because you guys are going to wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit, and we can talk about the Holy Spirit when we have more time than just this morning. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and take residency within you. In essence, what's going on is Jesus is saying to them, wait, and then you will be filled in such a way that you can't help but go out and enjoy me making an impact through you. So often we want to point and say, well, he needs to do it this way, he needs to do it that way. But Jesus says, wait, and when you receive, you're going to move. It was a seismic event, Pentecost. Happens in Acts chapter 2. And over the course of the next number of chapters, if we were to read through all of Acts, we would see that all these magnificent things are happening through very simple people. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are before the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin looked at them and they said this. They looked at Peter and John and realized they were ordinary men. And then there's this little caveat: who happened to be with Jesus. They were simple, ordinary men who happened to have spent time with Jesus. And God took these simple, ordinary men and changed everything. We come to Acts chapter 10, where Peter has this vision of going to see a man by the name of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius wasn't some just your next door neighbor type guy. Cornelius was this man who was a centurion in the Roman army, meaning the enemy. And we read this in Acts chapter 10, says this, starting at verse 27, says this: while talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Him stepping into this man's room, into this man's house, was a seismic event. It broke every rule that the Jews were about. And this past week, I was thinking, how can I help illustrate this? How can I help illustrate how impactful this was? There's a town in California. It's called Parkfield, California. Has a grand total of 18 people that live in it. Why in the world would I talk about Parkfield, California? 18 people? By the way, they're all ranchers and farmers. What's the big deal about Parkfield? Here's the big deal about Parkfield. It lies along the San Andreas Fault. Since 1857, they have had a magnitude 6 or greater earthquake happen there every 22 years. It's why they say, be here when it happens. Now, you'll notice only 18 people live in Parkfield. Here's why. You don't know if you're going to be there the next day or not. I don't think the Chamber of Commerce is all that vibrant there or anything like that. Hey, bring your business here. We're not sure if it's going to last through the next day or so, but bring it anyway. But you need to be here when it happens, because when it happens, your life will never be the same. This seismic activity that happens there has seismologists from all over the world descending upon there, doing different types of research and things like that. But they expect big things to happen. They expect it to happen sometime. And when Peter took that step into Cornelius' house, it was an earth-shattering experience. It was a seismic move. Everything changed. Just as when an earthquake strikes or earthquake happens, things change. The church at that time said, well, that was just an isolated incident. We'll give you a pass, Peter, because you're sort of a big deal. We'll let that happen. But what ended up happening was this, is that more and more Gentiles came to know and place their trust in Jesus Christ. We read that story and we think, oh, it's really not that big of a deal. Here's how big of a deal it is. You and I are recipients of that event today. Let that sink in. It was such an earth-shattering move that Peter made that it changed the course of the church's direction. And I'm not saying that something else couldn't have happened, but I am saying this. We can look back and say, oh my, things changed. Things changed, and just as things change in Parkfield every 22 years when an earthquake happens, things change when Jesus Christ changes people's lives. And these Gentiles all of a sudden begin to come to know Jesus Christ by the hundreds. The Roman kingdom was advancing, but the Christianity's kingdom, the movement of Jesus Christ, was expanding far more rapidly, and not through violence and not through intimidation, but through grace and mercy and the power of Jesus Christ. And so we come to Acts 15, and there's an issue going on. And just like any church that has an issue, they did back then what we do today. And they called a meeting. So in Acts chapter 15, we read this. Acts chapter 15, verse 6. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. What was the question? The question was this. Should Gentiles who are being converted to Jesus Christ or placing their trust in Jesus Christ, should they be circumcised or should they not? Now, for some strange reason, all the Gentile men were not signing up saying, please, I'd like to be circumcised. For some strange reason, it really wasn't going over that well. But yet, it was a huge issue because the Jewish background believers were saying, listen, we had to get circumcised. Why do they not have to? And not only was it that they weren't being circumcised, they also didn't obey Jewish dietary laws. They also didn't obey Jewish different traditional things that were going on in the Jewish realm of things. The Jews had 613 laws that they were following. And all of a sudden, these Gentiles are coming in. It's like, they just need to place their trust in Jesus? That seems like a ripoff. They at least need to be circumcised. By the way, of all the things they could have picked, circumcision? They were upset. They were angry. They didn't know what to do. When Jesus Christ changes lives, it is a seismic activity. It is life-altering. It is earth-shattering. We look at it as if it's like no big deal. But you tell me, when a person who is going down this path of addiction all of a sudden comes and places their trust in Jesus Christ and they're no longer going down this path of addiction and they're moving forward being a productive person in society, they're caring for others, they're forgiving others, you tell me that's not a seismic, miraculous move. They couldn't figure out what to do. They understood the significance of this event. Whatever decision they made in that council in Jerusalem was going to have far-reaching consequences. It was something that was changing the way the church would conduct itself. Father, we pray as we look at this, we pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to receive from you the movement that you desire to do in our lives. Lord, we get so comfortable. We get so set in our ways. And Lord, you say you want to break free in our lives. Holy Spirit, break us free. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts to receive from you what it is that you have for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for setting us free. Holy Spirit, do your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the question is there. And then look what happens in verse 7. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. So Peter's encounter with Cornelius had made the rounds, and people had heard what was going on. And he refers back to that, and in essence, what Peter is saying is, listen, this wasn't my idea to bring in the Gentiles. This was God's idea. And when I stepped into Cornelius' house, amazing things happened. The Holy Spirit showed up just as he showed up that day on Pentecost. So you need to realize, folks, that you want to think that the Gentiles aren't part of the deal here, but the reality is this, and trust me, I couldn't believe it myself, but the reality of the deal is that he's moving in their lives. Verse 8. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. 3.5 years or so prior to this, perhaps a little bit longer than that, Peter was sitting in a boat fishing. And now Peter is one of the leaders of the church. God takes a simple fisherman and moves him through a course of events and places him where Peter is involved as the lead spokesperson at the first council in Jerusalem, making decisions that have consequences and ramifications that we're still dealing with today. His faith moved from this place of, I'm not sure about Jesus Christ, to, I know this Jesus, and I'm here to let you know about him because he's changed my life and he will continue to change my life, and he's changed the Gentiles' lives. For him to say to Cornelius, instead of, hey, thanks for having me over, his first words were, hey, listen, this is against the law. This really isn't a good thing. Why do you want me here? And then he hears the story and he sees God do these amazing things. That changed his life, and now he is here in front of the council saying, this is a big deal that's going on. His faith started off very small, and it continued to build and build and build and build and build and brought him to this place. Last August, Andy and Heather Beck moved to the Valley from Texas. It was a move that didn't just happen all of a sudden. It was the consequence of some movement that was going on back here. And I've asked Andy to come up, and he and I are going to chit-chat for a little while about what has happened. Because as we read these events in Peter's life and we read these events in Acts, we sit there and say, how is this possible? Does anything like this continue to happen today? Well, I'm here to tell you, it still happens today. Andy and Heather, like I said, moved here, and we have been recipients of their ministry. And instead of me talking about this particular encounter in Acts 15, I believe it's incredibly more powerful for you to hear from Andy about how God has lived out this Acts 15, not only in his life and in Heather's life, but in their family's life. Andy and I have become very good friends. I no longer call him Andy. I call him Beck because we have two Andys now. But I call him Beck. Beck sounds a lot cooler. No offense. That came out really badly. I'm glad, I'll be quiet. No, I'm not going to be quiet because I have questions to ask you. But I've asked Andy. Andy and I have become good friends. And this faith journey that they have taken has been incredible. And so, Andy, I'm going to ask you this question. When did this all start for you? What was going on? How did it all happen?
I think it's about 10 or so years ago. We grew up, me and Heather grew up in the same church, and it's from preschool on. And our family.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you did not start dating in preschool.
No, but she did bite my nose when we were about 3.
She bit your nose?
So they say it. Love
that's
it.
A little too much PDA
love
there, my
first
friend.
Bite. That's what they say.
Love it first bite.
So,
that's really not good, man. Let's get back to this.
And we always say it's kind of an arranged marriage because our parents were friends way before we were born. So, but anyway, we grew up in the same church, and just when we got married, we felt like we needed our own identity in Christ, or our own place. And we felt like the church that we went to was great, but our parents went there, our grandparents went there, all our family. And so we felt like we needed to get our own, like, faith and know what we believe as a family, as a couple. And so it led us to another church that we started going to, and from there, we were doing music at that church, and we met some people that were missionaries going to Africa, and so their lives really impacted just our life of how we live out our faith daily, just seeing them prepare to go overseas and what their lives look like and their kids and everything. And so anyway, their family was related to the last church that we came from Texas to here. So that's kind of how we got to know the people there to move. But when we moved from Houston to this little town called Yoakum, it was like two hours away, but it was such a big change for our family. It's such a big change, for our extended family. And I feel like that began this journey of like, okay, God, do you have us going here? We're going to go wherever. And so from then on, through that 3 years at that church, again, that family that introduced us to them came back from Africa, and now they're in the Middle East. And they just kind of inspired us, not so much to be missionaries, but to be Christ followers where we are in our daily living. So that's kind of.
So then in August, you guys made the cross-country trek. And for those of you that don't know, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted Andy to talk, was they have intentionally moved into an apartment complex that is predominantly refugee families and quite a few Islamic families and other folks. But you made an intentional move to live among a people that many people would say, wow, I would not want to live there, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, our we're in a missions internship it was kind of done now, but we're here through the end of May. Our lease is up, and so we're going to go somewhere. We don't know. But the point being, getting there was the whole group was going to be in one apartment complex, kind of as if you were overseas going, and, kind of all the culture shock and all the good stuff that goes along with that, and not so good stuff sometimes. And so that, yeah, we're there, and our neighbors are Muslims, and there's several in that family that live in that complex, so we've got to really know them, and they bring us dinner sometimes, and make us food, and we'll go to their house, and we'll hang out with their kids. Their kids stay over at our house a lot, and our kids will spend the night with them, and different things like that. But we just become like this family, and the lady and our neighbor, she has four or five other sisters, and Heather is, been going with her and talking to her, taking her to the doctor, or helping with their taxes and that type of thing. But they've included us in their family, and so anytime they have family events, they'll say, hey, come over, and they even call Heather their other sister, and so it's pretty cool.
You guys have had a profound impact there, and have been impacted
nonetheless.
There had to be something, so August happens, you move in, there had to be some crises come along the way, and then talk about how you landed here.
Okay, we came here. Our church back home sent us away with a good gift of money so we could kind of get established here. And I thought, well, we'll be a month, you know, then I'll get a job and we'll, you know, all this extra money we'll just put in savings. Well, that wasn't the case. I had a hard time finding a job and didn't really find anything from end of August through about October. And then just praying and seeking the Lord, I felt like God was saying, just stop looking. Don't look. Don't. I got this cover. Just watch what I do. And I was like, all that was in me wanted to say, no, I need to go look for a job. I need to do this because I need to support my family. And I feel like God was just saying, do you trust me in this? And so I said, okay. So I stopped. And a couple weeks later, we got the opportunity to come here. Not knowing anything about the church, we just came on a Sunday, and the message just seemed to be just what we needed at that time.
So it wasn't my charm that really helped.
Sorry. Or your good looks.
Sorry. No, but, well, go.
But we, from that point, we were like, hey, maybe we can go here on Sundays so our kids can kind of be connected to a church body. And a couple weeks after that, I was looking at the website and just kind of trying to see if what we believe lined up with what the church is teaching and everything, kind of that type of thing. And noticed that there was an opening for a worship leader position. And so I thought, oh, that's cool. But didn't think anything of it because I wasn't planning on going that direction anymore. And about a week went by and I felt the Lord just softly saying, or email him and see. And I said, okay. So I emailed, and because we had been in our previous church in Houston, there had been a lot of interim worship leaders because they were in this big long journey to find a worship pastor. And so I just emailed John and said, hey, we're going to be here till May or June. If you would be interested, we'd like to just help out until you find somebody to kind of take the pressure off of just picking anyone right then. And so that kind of led to that. And so then the rest has been history since.
The rest has been history since then.
Since about
and one of the things that I love about Beck is that we have had this, we get together almost weekly, and every single week he tells me different stories about how God has taken care of them again and again and again. And every single time I come into his office and he just says, I got a great story for you. I'm going, what happened this time? He says, we were down to $1.42. And God brought us groceries. I'm going, you were down to $1.42? He says, yeah, isn't that awesome? I'm going, no. But the point is that, and that's where the connection to Peter is that Peter saw God provide again and again and again, and it brought him to this incredible place. You saw God provide again and again and again, and you're at this place now where this church has been a recipient of you and Heather's ministry of worship, and we are so grateful that you took those steps. But in the process of you taking those steps, you've seen God provide. And you continue to see God use his grace through you. Talk to us about, you move into this apartment complex, not what you were anticipating 10 years ago.
No.
You move into that apartment complex. How have you seen God's grace use you to make an impact in that place?
I think just moving in the first day, I didn't really mention this during the first service, but the first day we got to our apartments, it was kind of a bad day. You know, it was really hot, like 105 or something. It was August. So Heather had to go down and get a money order, and it was just this fiasco, and this is rude people, and she came back just in tears and just kind of like, why are we here? What are we doing? You know, but then when we finally pulled the truck around, we were praying, God, we need strength to unload this truck and whatever. Please send help or if you can, whatever. Within like 5 minutes, we had this big thing of candy that our friends from back home gave for the kids to give out or whatever. So Hunter and Hallie just grabbed it and put it on there, and all these kids came like ants just running. And they're like, hey, there's candy. And so they started eating candy, and they were like, hey, can we help you unpack? And so it was like a little trail of ants from our from our U-Haul to our apartment. And we unpacked our truck in like an hour. And it was like, from then on, like the kids were just the stars of the show for that week. And, you know, they had candy. And so everybody's going to be excited to be with them. But they have been such an impact with the friends around them. And then with our neighbors and with different situations we've been in, we've been able to just share the light of God's grace and his love. And not anything we're trying to do, like, hey, I'm going to purposefully just go and blatantly tell you about the gospel or whatever. But just those little things of living in front of people and seeing, like, them seeing us go through trials and us reacting a different way than what normally would be, we would normally want to react. But by going by the Bible and how it says to love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you, I think that made a big impact on the people around us. Even though they don't know the Bible, they knew the concept of that. And our neighbors, that's another big thing. It's just getting to know our neighbors. We wouldn't have normally tried to be friends with refugees from Malaysia, but they have been like family to us, and they've helped us through so much. Just the camaraderie and the support that they have, since our families, both of our families are kind of away. So we've become like this little family together. So
cool. So people, just realistically, Andy or Beck, people here are hearing what you're saying. And I would imagine one of the first things that's going through their mind is, there is no way on earth I could ever do this. What would you say to those folks? Frankly, all of us who perhaps are having that type of a thing.
If you're looking at me to be like this great person, then you're looking at the wrong place. Because I'm just this normal guy who's trying to figure it out. And we're just this simple family that's trying to teach our kids what it is to follow God on a daily basis. And so our philosophy, I guess our concept, is simple is better. And so we just read the words and we see, hey, Jesus says to do this. That's going to be a hard one. But since he says to do it, we probably need to go ahead and follow that. And it's impossible, some of the things he says, but with God's help and through the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish it. Not for our own strength, but for his glory. And so I think, I mean, to me, that would be the encouragement of, if you see us doing it, then anybody can do it. I mean, that's seriously, that's the thing. If you know us any outside of being on the stage and leading music, you'll know that there's nothing really special.
That's true.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we're just, you know, we just
a regular dude. That's what I mean
by
it. You're just a regular guy.
We feel like God has gifted us maybe with this. I guess he's gifted us with faith. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that a gift? I guess
it is a gift. Yeah.
But it seems to us like it's just this. We want to love God so much. We want to be so close. We want to show our kids, point them to him every minute of the day. That when we wake up in the morning, we, instead of saying, hey, I'm going to go do this and do that and do this, like the Bible talks about going to some town and I'm going to start this business and make all this money and do this. And the Bible says, how do you know that you have tomorrow? You don't know that you have the next breath. And so going by those verses has inspired us to be like, you know what? We don't want to make our own plans. We don't want to strive to succeed in the world. We would much rather be in God's will and where he's leading us daily, and he's just proved it. He's provided time after time after time that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about anything because he is already there and he's already here, and we're just going to just rest in that and know that if you leave me here, I'm going to go here. If you leave me there, I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. And that it's just, maybe it's too simplistic, but I think God calls us to that childlike faith. Mm-hmm. And so
that's way cool. And so, just so you know, this is the Beck's last Sunday as far as leading on Sundays. We, with the new Andy, I'm not saying new and improved, but with the new Andy, we have, the Beck's will be wrapping up their ministry here. We have been recipients of your ministry. And I want to say the impact that you've had on my life, as far as this faith venture that you've been on, has deeply impacted me. It has been you have been a source of encouragement to me to keep going, to know that God's going to take care of us. The ministry you've had here in our church through this interim period of finding a worship person has been priceless. And I want to say on behalf of this congregation, I want to say thank you for taking that step and coming alongside us and partnering with us, and then to live out this missions experience that work all of us are called to do. And so I have to ask you this question: what happens after May?
There's like this big fog, and we don't know what to do next. Seriously, but it's so cool because we have this peace and we have this assurance that God's going to tell us what to do when we need to do it. He's not up there looking down saying, "Well, maybe you'll trip, but I'll get back to you later." He's intimately involved in what we're doing. And we watched the movie last week, Guys That Did Too. I don't know. We're not a big promoter of movies, but one line in this movie just jumped out so much at me. The girl in the movie is just on trial, like literally on trial in a court, but also going through other trials in her life. And she talks to her grandpa and she says, "Well, I pray now. I used to pray and God would answer. Now I pray and there's nothing." And he said, excuse me, let me see if I can get it right. He said, "The teacher is always silent during the test." And that just hit me like, okay, maybe that's why we don't know what the next step is. And that maybe that's why nobody knows. And if they're in certain seasons in their life, they're like just in that waiting period. But while we wait, we want to be faithful to trust and to obey and to just do what he's told us to do. And so I think, you know, hopefully the little fog at the end of May is going to be a short one and we can just drive right through it. But we need to take that step. We need to take that step. Another movie, I'm sorry, I'm a movie guy sometimes, but the, not Raiders of the Lost Ark, but the second one.
Rocky?
No, not Rocky. That was a good one too.
Thank you.
Temple of Doom, the second one. At the end, he's like, he has to cross this chasm of nothingness. And he has to have he just closes his eyes and he takes this big step, and all of a sudden there's something there, and he would have just fallen into oblivion. And so I feel like I kind of picture that as, okay, you're asking us to take the step, take this leap of faith or the step off of whatever, and we have to trust that you're going to catch us and you're going to take care of us. So that's what's next.
That's awesome, man. So on behalf of this congregation, thank you for your ministry with
thank
us.
You. God bless. Thank you so much.
So let's connect this. God bless you. You can have a seat. Peter, a regular ordinary guy. Andy Beck, a regular ordinary guy. And yet, God takes these ordinary folks, takes you and I. He says, take that step. When Peter took that step of walking into Cornelius' room, it was a seismic event. Everything changed. The world didn't know what to do. The church didn't know what to do. And yet, God provided for them. As we talk next weekend about missions, as we get to interact with them for a few more weeks and God continues to use them, we get to see God provide again and again and again. And the people they didn't know what to do. They had no idea what to do. And then Peter says this in verse 10. He says, "Why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are." It was a faith venture, step by step by step. All of us have fears about taking those steps. All of us don't know if we can do it. You heard from Beck. You read in God's word that every time that people took that step of faith, God came through. Folks, I don't know what's holding you back. I don't know what's holding me. I do know what's holding me back. It's fear, confusion. But yet God says, take that step. And Peter understood that, and he said, it's by God's grace that people are changed. May we live that out in these coming days, weeks, months, and years. Because when we move forward, we no longer are ordinary folks. We are ordinary folks infused with the power of God to change a world around us. Will you take those steps? What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Father, we pray as we consider these words, we pray that we would not look at Andy and Heather Beck and exalt them, but that we would look at them and say, God, you use them. Would you use me too? Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would do that very thing in beautiful and magnificent ways, as well as in very simple and straightforward ways. Lord, thank you for Peter taking that step, a seismic move that changed everything. Lord, may we take those steps so that our lives would be a reflection of you in a world that's desperately seeking you. We love you, and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now going to have the offering, and we do this every week, right? And so we see God provide for us in so many different ways. And so it's now an opportunity for us to give back to him a portion of what he's provided for us. And keep in mind, you're giving to him. You're not giving to this church. And as you give, God takes those gifts and he expands his kingdom, he expands his work, and great things happen in the process. Father, we pray that you'll take these gifts and multiply them for your kingdom's advancement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the offering's being taken this evening, we have a new college-age ministry that's starting, and we'd like you to watch this very short and very, it'll give you a little bit of an understanding of what's going to begin tonight. For our college ministry. So please direct your attention to the screen and watch this video.
I don't know. There. Okay, I'm on now. Can you stand? We're going to sing a few more songs. I know we're in a little bit later than normal maybe, but who cares? We're having a good time and we're worshiping. Things. sing that one more time. We lift our eyes to heaven.
We lift our eyes to heaven. We wrap our lives around your life. We lift our eyes to heaven, to you.
Oh, Christ.
Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the place we fix our rights. Be the center of our lives. Be the center of our lives around your life. We lift our eyes to heaven, to you.
You guys sing that out one more time. We lift our eyes.
We lift our eyes to heaven. We wrap our lives around your life. We lift our eyes to heaven.
Turn your eyes
into your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face
in the things
and the things of earth. Will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
God, we just worship you. Yeah, we thank you for this time that we can just turn our eyes on you, that we can reflect on all that you are, God. Help our lives to be like that song says, just focused, laser focused on you, God. Because nothing else matters. Nothing in this world even compares or pales. It all pales in comparison to you. God, you are so holy and you are so worthy and you are so magnificent. We love you. We thank you. God, we worship you.
How great is our God. Sing with me how great. Our God, and all will see how great is our God. In the splendor of the King.
Wraps Sing one more song together. Again, this is geared all towards the service. I don't know. I picked the songs before I knew what was going on, so had to be God. This song talks about all we need. We have all we need in you. So let's let this be our anthem to go out this week.
Thank you.
would you pray?
That was perfect. So God's good stuff. God is more than good stuff. He's a good. So we are grateful for you guys. I'm going to pray for you guys. Come over here real quick, Heather. I'm going to pray for you guys as we see God do great things in the next phase of the adventure. So, Father, thank you for Andy and Heather and their family. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to remind them that you are all they need. And frankly, Lord, that you'd remind all of us that you are all we need. Lord Jesus, we lift them into your arms. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to use them for you and the kingdom, that they would rest in you, that you would continue to provide your peace, you'd continue to provide provision, continue to provide perspective as they continue seeking you. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you so very much for their ministry with us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. God. So we have to say thank you to, we are having a reception. We get to say thank you to the Becks and their ministry. And we're having a reception over in Winfields. Please swing by, say hi, listen to some of the ways that God has done. I'm not kidding you. It blows me away how God has taken care of them over and over again. We thank you so much for your ministry with us. And so please join us at this reception over there. Go out knowing that God is all you need and that he will carry you through no matter what comes your way. God bless you. Enjoy this day.